Whatever your politics, the brief honeymoon period following the election of Tony Blair as UK Prime Minister in 1997 ushered in a new sense of possibility. Those were heady days. The slogan on the lips of the Labour Party that he represented was, "Things can only get better." And suddenly, tired, old, conservative Britain became cool Britannia. Well, it's true that things might not have been quite so cool if you were from a poor and run-down industrial region of the north, or even from one of the numerous pockets of poverty in the south. But the centre of cool Britannia was cool London, and the mood was a definite yes, we can. The foundations of a liberal economy and the free flow of capital had been greatly strengthened by years of Thatcherism, and the Blair era was not about to waste them. With its new, more caring and social democrat approach to capitalism, it set about redefining the image of Britain and, most especially, London to all interested customers. London is a city that has known how to reinvent itself over and over again throughout the 2,000 years of its existence. And its raison d'etre, to use that good English expression conveniently stolen from the French, has always been about trade and finance. The Thatcher years secured London's place as the primary financial centre in Europe, and under Tony Blair, it not only became richer and a better place to make money, but cool as well. Not since the swinging 60s had London appeared so attractive to young Europeans, as well as to economic migrants arriving from the newly opened borders of Eastern Europe and the traditional pool of global tourists. New York might still win in terms of ultimate cool and appear more exotic, but at least for the young coming from Europe, it was still a lot further away and a good deal more expensive to get to. London is increasingly far from being the most popular city on earth, as it was from 1831 to 1925, but it's still officially one of the most international. Its airports handle more international traffic than any other city, and more languages are spoken than in any other city on the planet except New York. Toronto and San Francisco are equally diverse, but nowhere in Europe comes close except Manchester. Paris is ethnically diverse, but still largely francophone. London's recent history of immigration goes back to the Second World War. In the post-war years, and all through the 1950s and 60s, waves of immigrants arrived, mostly from the Indian subcontinent and the Caribbean, fulfilling the demand for both cheap and more skilled labour in sectors such as manufacturing and the National Health Service. In spite of the racism that these migrants met with, and sometimes still do, racial integration and tolerance in London have a longer history and go beyond that of most other large European cities. This sense of relative openness, combined with reasonably favourable economic conditions and high levels of employment, are some of the key factors in its ongoing position as a magnet of opportunity in Europe. Even if Paris is more beautiful, Rome more historic, and Berlin more bohemian, London is undoubtedly the New York of Europe. Since Tony Blair and the New Labour Party invented the term Cool Britannia, this image of London has been deliberately encouraged by successive governments. One of the Blair government's first acts in promoting the image and position of London worldwide, as well as making it more democratic for its own citizens, was to reinstate a local London government in 2000. This had been abolished by Margaret Thatcher in 1986, and the leader of the Greater London Council at that time was a certain Ken Livingstone, a radical and canny politician on the left of the Labour Party. The building in which the council sat was based directly opposite that other more famous building, the Houses of Parliament, and the war between Livingstone and Thatcher was fierce and flagrant. Her response to Livingstone was characteristic. She abolished him. When the Labour Party reinstated a council to govern London, they went even further, following the example of Paris and other European cities, by creating a directly elected mayor for the first time. And who was this first directly elected mayor? Well, Ken Livingstone, of course. So, Ken Livingstone 1 point, Margaret Thatcher 0. Ken embraced the idea of cool London enthusiastically and set about enhancing the image of the city abroad with its attractiveness as a place to do business, in spite of his socialist credentials. It was Ken Livingstone who successfully managed to secure the bid to host the Olympics in London in 2012, and who signed the deal to develop a system of low-cost citywide bike rental modelled on Paris's Vélib scheme. Both these achievements have since become more associated with London's Conservative mayor, Boris Johnson, elected twice in 2008 and 2012. The London rental bikes are now unofficially and incorrectly called Boris bikes. It was also Ken Livingstone who took the decision to free up London's building height restrictions and paved the way for what is fast becoming a mini Manhattanization of London's skyline. In spite of the recession reaching its peak from 2008 to 2010, London has undergone an unprecedented building boom in the past two decades, with more to come. London's most iconic skyscraper, and the tallest building in Western Europe, the Shard, was completed in 2012. Equally loved and detested across the political spectrum, its 87 stories have become a symbol of 21st century London, either an architectural gem or a symbol of capitalist decadence, depending on how you look at it. From Chicago and Manhattan to Dubai, skyscrapers have been used by urban and national governments across the world to make cities appear more glamorous and international, in spite of the reality on the ground. London, of course, is no exception to this. Its role as the New York of Europe seems to be increasingly strong, both in its appearance and in the way it functions. But just how glamorous and cool is it? Are the days of cool Britannia over? And is London now relying on crude symbols of power to prove itself?